Yeah, and what did I say about discipleship? Right, we've got to do it. Yeah, we've got to live it. I just want to try a little experiment. Sue, you've not got to spoil this. All right, I'm going to light this candle. And then I just want you for a moment to concentrate on that candle. Really concentrate. And try and make that candle go out by concentrating on it. I don't think you're concentrating hard enough. I think you need to try harder. Or maybe, I mean, we're Christians, aren't we? So why not pray? Why not pray that the light will go out? Okay, Sue. The point is, sometimes you just have to get up and do something. We can pray, but if we never do anything, you know, God has chosen a way. He intervened in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave up all of the stuff of heaven in order to live as a human being. And then he taught 12 or 72 or 100 and odd, however many people were in his group, he taught them how to live like he was living. He was fully human. If you cut him, he bled. You know, he'd worked with his earthly father as a carpenter. I'm sure he had chisel marks and all those kind of scars on his hands because, like you and me, he hurt when he got cut. He'd have calluses on his hands. He was a human being. Yes, he was also God, but he chose to give that up and live as a human being. Why? Because he could show us how to live as fully human beings, trusting in God. When he said, I can do nothing without the Father, he meant he could do nothing without the Father. It's interesting, Jesus didn't feed the 5,000. The disciples fed the 5,000. He took one of the loaves, he broke it, he gave thanks to God, and he shared it into. He broke it up amongst the disciples, and they went out and they fed. The miracle was in their hands, not his. And so often we think, well, we're only human, and he was Jesus. But you have to get your view of Jesus right. He was fully human, just as we are. And he taught his disciples, and his disciples, well, at the point he first sent them out, they weren't what we would call saved. Peter hadn't had the revelation that he was the Christ, but he'd been sent out. The 72 got sent out ahead of Jesus to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven was near. But Jesus hadn't yet been to the cross. He hadn't yet been revealed as the Messiah. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given to the church. But they went out, and they came back excited, because when they prayed for people, things happened. And that's important, that we take hold of the fact that Jesus taught by saying, this is what I do, you do it. And there were times where they came back and people said, you know, this person's still possessed by a demon and your disciples can't get rid of it. And he was a faceplant moment. He says, oh, you have little faith, you know, these. And he gets on with doing the stuff. He was teaching them. He was teaching them how to live, trusting in God. And of course, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the same Holy Spirit that he'd been filled with. And then they go out. And you read the book of Acts, and Luke's account of what the early church did is very much like Luke's account of what Jesus did. It's about miracles, it's about healing, it's about transformation. Because they were doing exactly what Jesus had taught them to do. And we are called to do the same. God wants to apprentice each one of us. Not that we would know about him, in that sense, but we would know him. And that we'd know his power at work through us. And you know, you only get that when you step beyond yourself. When you step beyond where it is, whether that's being an example in the way you live, where you can't speak about Jesus. And you know, we know that Daniel and Joan, in that sense, can't be missionaries, but they can live a wholesome life. And for some of you in your workplace, you can't be banging on about Jesus all the time. You know, you just don't win friends sometimes that way. But you can live with a set of values that the light can shine through. For others of us, it's easy. You know, people coming into the building, we're a church, duh. And sometimes we shut up and don't talk about Jesus when we've got all the freedom to do it. And we have to ask ourselves the questions, what are we doing with our freedom? Because I'm convinced that whether we can speak or we can't speak, that how we live has an impact. Is God with us? Yes. Is God working through us? Absolutely. And when we commit ourselves to the work of discipleship, then we see God at work. But discipleship is about doing. It is about that movement. It is about that being. And you know, people need to know that there is good news. Because there's a load of bad news out there. There's a load of bad news and there's a load of grief. And so we need to do. And part of our sharing and part of our coming together is to encourage one another to be doers of the word. Not just hearers of the word. And so I want to throw that challenge out. I closed my sermon 2 weeks ago with a challenge. I said, will you take up the challenge to join a discipleship journey? I said, it means acting differently, not thinking differently. And I said, I asked you to think of one thing you were going to do differently as a result of what you'd heard. And then I asked you to speak to someone who would hold you accountable for that thing. And I said, well, whatever it is, for God's sake, do it. You were encouraged to do something. So I want you to think back And it might only be small things. But what have you done? What have you done differently as a result of what you've heard?
As I shared last week, I actually stopped with my neighbours. I do the same journey every week, every morning to work, but I actually stopped on my way to work, and they were asking me what sort of things go on here during the week. And so we've got groups of a couple of people from the bungalows at Campbell Street that want to come to craft group and come to cafe and engage with that.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, last week I shared about a young woman who walked from Little Lever into Farmworth and back, and I finally met up with her because she sings and her arms going and she's lovely. And I stopped her and I said, "You make my day, you're so happy." She said, "I've got depression, and when I'm depressed, I want to sing." So I said, "I come to the well." I said, "If you fancy walking past and coming in and singing with us, it would be marvellous, wouldn't it?"
Yeah. That's great. Anyone else? Leslie, what's happening on Wednesday? Because it was about doing something, wasn't it?
New prayer meeting on Wednesday to pray for the area, to pray for our country, to get engaged with all the stuff that's going on, because we can change the world in the name of Jesus. We can't do anything without Jesus, but with Jesus we can change the world. So be here on Wednesday. If you can't get here for 7 o'clock, come when you can come. If you can't stay for as long as we stay, go when you go, but come.
Yeah. So that's the result of a lot of people saying, "We need to pray." And of course, I said, "Just do something." And then people came together and said, "Right, we're going to do it and we're going to start." So they're starting on Wednesday. Anything else? I want to encourage you to keep doing things. Some of you are already doing things day by day, and you probably don't realize that you're doing anything. But keep loving people. Keep talking to your neighbours. Keep inviting people. Keep popping into coffee shop. Keep volunteering for things like food bank collections. Keep doing the stuff that you do. Keep being a good example at work. Keep working hard. Don't let that voice that says, "Nothing's happening. Nobody notices me. No one's noticed that I'm different than anybody else, even though I'm trying to live differently." Don't let that voice talk you out of being different. You know, every time we meet someone, we have a choice. Every time we get involved in a conversation, we have a choice. And we need to pray and make the right choices. Each morning when we get up, are we going to live for ourselves or are we going to live for Jesus? When we face with difficulties, are we going to trust that God's in it? Or are we going to try and work it out for ourselves? You know, sometimes God wants us to take us through things because we need the experience. But he never abandons us to the experience. He takes us through that experience. And so it's important that we learn to let our light shine in every situation. Wherever it is, whatever we're doing. Because we are called to be disciples. Paul wrote. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6 to 9, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out, not only there, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us, and they tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. That would be my prayer for this church, for Farnworth, that people would know that we were imitators of Jesus. You know, I want people to stop the bad mouthing of Christians as Bible bashers and all the stuff that people bad mouth Christians about, and actually to try and bad mouth us as little Christs, which is what Christian means. That's what the translation is. That they would look and say, who do they think they are? They're acting like God's children. Who do they think they are? They have confidence in a God who doesn't exist. Who are they? Because they're living a different life. Who are they? They're using the example of some guy who we don't even know whether he existed or not, who's written about in a book, and they're living it out. You know, if people call us for that, we're in good company, because that was what they called the early church at Antioch. Who are these people who think they are the little anointed ones? I wish people would call us for that instead of for the other stuff they call us for. And they will only do that if we live for Christ in everything we do. That we give up our rights for the sake of the world, for the sake of the community, and for the sake of God, who has brought us together as his people, hasn't he? He's brought us here so that we can make a difference. And we know we make a difference, because people's lives are changed and transformed. And we know we've only got a fixed amount of time. We are a little blip in history. You know? If you go into a graveyard, you know, it doesn't take long for the names to fade off the stones and the stones to chip away, and those names are lost forever. But they were able to do their bit in the time they've got and move forward. We are able to do our bit in the time we've got. But we've only got a small amount of time, and the community to which we speak has only got a small amount of time, because death comes to us all. As we learn from the book of Ecclesiastes, it basically says, doesn't matter, because death is common to everyone. Well, that be the case, we want to make sure that we're helping people to be certain of what their future is beyond the grave. A good future with God. Sandy Hawthorne, founder of the Message Trust and of Eden, says, the task of the church is to stand at the very gates of hell and rescue people from it. That's your task, folks, wherever he calls you, to stand there and to rescue people. You know, we people will ask the question, John, do you believe that people will go to hell? Well, the Bible says they will, unless they hear the good news and respond to that good news. So if it offends you that people might go to hell, don't think that you can change it. Don't even believe, and prayer can change it. I'm not saying prayer doesn't, but it's very clear in Scripture. How will they hear if no one tells them? So sometimes we just have to get up and do it. Prayer's great. And please pray. Pray that the people in North Korea and the people in Saudi Arabia and other places see visions and have dreams of Jesus Christ. By all means, pray for those things. But if you're praying for your neighbours, also be praying for the moment to speak the right words to do. What's the right time to invite? What's the right time to speak? Because we're here because someone had the courage to speak to us. So, if nothing else, learn from them and speak to someone this week about the love of Christ for them. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have called us to follow you. Thank you that you include us in your plan. We know, Lord, that you could destroy the devil with one word. You could bring it all to an end with one word. But you choose to use your people. You chose each one of us. So we thank you for your goodness and your grace, and help us to stand strong and to know who we are and why we're here. Amen. I just want to read some words from Isaiah 6. This is Isaiah's commission. Says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they cover their faces, with two they cover their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. We're not perfect. Like Isaiah, when we come before the holiness of God, we know the things we've done wrong. But in Christ Jesus, our sin has been atoned for, and we have been set free. And he says, who will go. We're going to stand and we're going to sing our response. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. And the response, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. Let's stand and let's sing our response to God this morning.
I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make the darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
Here I am, Lord. This is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will come, Lord, if you need me. I will hold your people in my heart.
I have borne my people's pain, I have wept for love of them, they turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them, whom shall I send?
Here I am, Lord. This is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will come, Lord, if you need me. I will hold your people in my heart.
I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send?
This is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will know, Lord, if you need me. I will hold your people in my heart.
And now may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storms. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.